Welcome to Pot of Gold podcast. I am Fernando Ramirez. He is Mike Berardino. Together, we cover all things Notre Dame football for the South Bend Tribune and ND Insider. We thank you for joining us today. Mike, there's a lot. Before I ask you how you're doing, man, it is crazy out there with all this NIL talk and everything. First of all, though, how are you doing? How are you taking all that in?
Wow. Well, I've been a little under the weather here this week. I don't know if I got COVID or not. I haven't tested, but I've been quarantining. But I have to say, if you're going to quarantine, there's nothing better than a Twitter beef between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher,
who don't even have Twitter,
going at it. Wow. They, just out there blowing up all social media outlets. And I guess now, as we speak, round three of that, was Nick Saban apologizing to his former assistant down at LSU, Jimbo Fisher, who's now at Texas A&M. And the SEC is never boring. It's been pretty intense. And it really makes me think of the scene in Blue Chips where Nick Nolte's character, Pete Bell, gives that talk at the end, and he's just disgusted by everything that's happened in the sport, et cetera. And he just basically names and pulls the curtain back. And JT Walsh's booster character is aghast and angry. And in this case, Pete Bell resigned and got out of coaching. Nick Saban's near the end of his coaching run, but whatever remains in that Hall of Fame coaching career, it's now always going to have an asterisk, a postscript of this 7-minute diatribe he went on down in Alabama.
I was so surprised too, because Nick is usually a calm, cool, and collected. Like, yeah, he'll throw jabs at the media sometimes, but he usually doesn't get frustrated. He doesn't really blow his top all that much. Again, when he's in a dialogue like that or something like that, he just never does it. Sometimes at the media or sometimes at other people he does, but I was just so surprised to hear him name names. And obviously, he called out Jimbo Fisher and Deion Sanders.
And Deion.
You know, it's funny. Deion tweeted out last night at midnight. Yeah. He's like, I just woke up from a nap or from sleep, and my son woke me up, showed me what he said. He's like, we're going to talk about this tomorrow. So it's just crazy to see. And obviously, it was because of that cornerback that they had. Supposedly Alabama was close to getting him, but he decided to go to Jackson State with Deion. But and then this morning, Jimbo Fisher gets, or on Thursday morning, Jimbo Fisher gets on the horn, and he just has a huge, you know, it's funny. He's like, anybody who's coached with him knows what he's done. And I'm kind of like, if I was a media member, I would have asked, okay, you're one of his coaching like assistants. What did he do? Like, let us know. And obviously it's just crazy the way this is kind of, the top has kind of come off, how the NIL has made people crazy. I remember Dabo Swinney from Clemson has also said he doesn't agree with the NIL, and he doesn't agree with any of this stuff. So there are some coaches obviously that don't agree with it. And now I feel like they're kind of, instead of going after the NIL, they're kind of going after each other in a sense.
Well, it's important to draw a distinction, Fernando, right, between what name, image, and likeness. Even Garth Brooks, when we talked to him here at Pot of Gold, mentioned a former college athlete as a javelin thrower. But you know, people are in favor of the idea of college athletes. I think polling would show most people who follow are in favor of the modern college athlete getting paid, being able to benefit from their marketability, their name, image, and likeness once they're at a school, just like any other college student. What name, image, and likeness is not set up to do is to have an element of inducement, recruiting payments in advance, anything that draws you as a high school student, yep, to sign on the dotted line eventually and on that national letter of intent. Any agreements in advance like that, that's what Saban was calling out.
Yeah,
that's what the collectives, the dirty collectives, you could say. There's a difference between those. Even Notre Dame's trying to set one up with Tom Mendoza and Brady Quinn that's already been set up as a nonprofit, and it's going to be stuff that they can only benefit from once they're there. But what Saban was calling out was what University of Miami's been doing. He certainly was casting aspersions on what Texas A&M is doing, but it's a whole host of universities that have an inducement element to this, And that's what the NCAA is trying to do. Now, you can't put the horse back in the barn in terms of what's already happened. Those guys aren't going to be released from their commitments, it wouldn't appear, if they were indeed induced by a collective to sign. But going forward, there is potential for this thing to get under control eventually. The guardrails that Jack Swarbrick, Notre Dame athletic director, has been mentioning for years now, as we've been trying to make sense of what was coming and now what's here and now what needs to be fixed. The guardrails that the NCAA is going to try to put in where NIL can work as it was intended to do, as it really must for the collegiate sports model to work going forward.
Before I ask you, Mike, I have one more question for you, but we have another great podcast plan with special guest, former quarterback, Notre Dame quarterback and co-founder of Mogul NIL outlet, Brandon Wimbush, along with former Notre Dame student and co-founder of Mogul, Aiden Sayel. They will join Pot of Gold. It's going to be great to hear from them and see kind of how they're doing the NIL, how they're moving along and helping students get what they're worth and helping them establish a future. So that'll be awesome. But Mike, how can they calm this down? How can they not, like, how can they stop what Miami's doing, what allegedly Texas A&M is doing? How can you stop all that? How can you stop that from happening?
Well, you know, I'm not a lawyer. My daughter's in law school. I'm not a lawyer. I have to ask her. But you know, these are the kinds of things that will be. There will be test cases. There will be already. We talk. You know, we hear a lot of lawyering up going on by the collectives out there, especially the ones in Texas. Not just A&M, of course, University of Texas. There's no richer school out there in terms of that Texas oil. And they want to win, and they haven't been winning forever. And so that's why Texas offensive linemen, that's been publicized. They've, you know, when you sign at University of Texas, doesn't matter how good you are, if you ever get on the field, there's a set number that you're going to get while you're there. I believe it's $50,000.
One of their running backs signed with Lamborghini too.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, it's certainly gotten out of hand. So how do you fix it? I'm not smart enough to explain that, and we don't have enough show to explain that, but I'm really excited that we're going to talk to a group in Wimbush and Sayal who, with Mogul, I believe are trying to do it the right way. And they set out from the beginning to do that because the way they call themselves the compliant NIL marketplace in there. I'm looking forward to hearing them explain just how they're going to get this thing under control.
Mike, before we get to our special guest, we will be in Vegas that weekend, this special weekend. It'll be BYU against Notre Dame, but that same day is supposed to be Alabama versus Texas A&M on October 8th. Mike, right now on May 20th, will there be a handshake between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher after the game? What says you?
I think so. I've been around Jimbo more than Nick, although here and there I was there. I covered that the LSU win in the BCS championship game when Fisher was the offense coordinator. I think they will patch it up. I don't know that they're going to be ever have a it won't be a true friendship filled with laughter and family updates, but I think they're both professional enough. I think there's a lot more pointing to the fact that they will let bygones be bygones eventually, but there'll always be a wariness now because Nick Saban got too specific. He's always been so good at giving the media, like you said, even the way he described Bryce Young a year ago, you know, got out in front of the NIL, said, well, our quarterback, I don't know anything about it, but I think our quarterback's on, you know, he's going to like get seven figures. And that was a tremendous bit of recruiting. It's even been mentioned that Nick, until the last minute or so of his 7-minute rant, till he got into Jackson State and Texas A&M, he was doing really well with that answer. If you watch the whole thing,
yeah,
because he even dropped in that since 2010, Alabama player. Cause I haven't checked the math. My calculator doesn't work that. It doesn't go that high. That since 2010, Alabama football players in the NFL have earned a combined $1.7 billion, according to Nick. That's a pretty impressive number. And he mentioned that last year's team in the first year of NIL, just the football team, that they pulled in $3 million total, 25 different players. You know, when he got specific with stuff that didn't impugn anyone's character, it was good for recruiting, good for Alabama, and really good for college football because it all kind of made sense. But then it got off the rails.
Yeah. No, yeah. So, I mean, you know what's not off the rails? Our next guest. Let's get to them now. I'm so excited to introduce them. Now joining the Pot of Gold is former Notre Dame quarterback and co-founder of Mogul, NIL outlet Brandon Wimbush, along with former Notre Dame student and co-founder Aiden Sayel. They're joining the Pot of Gold. Thank you guys so much for joining us. How are you guys doing?
We're good, guys. Appreciate it. Like I said before we got on, heard you guys had some cool guests, so we're honored to be here. Looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, Fernando, Mike, thanks so much for having us on. Big fan of the Tribune. Really excited to be on Pot of Gold.
Guys, we're going to talk a little football, and we're going to talk a good bit about NIL, and you're going to explain Mogul to folks. I think by now people out there have heard enough about it, but we want to know where you guys are with it now. But first thing I had to ask was, Steve Angeli grew up looking up to Brandon and was actually on the sideline as a little kid when you were starring at St. Peter's Prep. Did you know Steve Angeli? You knew his brother.
Yeah.
What do you remember about the kid, Steve Angeli, and what was it like to see him do that at the Blue Gold game?
Yeah, I just remember he was there. He's my ball boy when we were whooping up on Seton Hall Prep. That's cool.
That school.
I honestly think it was against Seton Hall or some other white and blue school. So it's actually funny, you know, kind of memory for me. But I just remember he's really, you know, excited to be a ball boy and always had that quarterback mentality in him. Obviously looked up to me, as we were one of the top programs in the country and the state and the country. And his brother protected me and went on to play at Fordham as well. So I'm really excited for Steve. I think he's in a good position. I think he's going to continue to thrive. I've heard nothing but great things about him within the locker room. So I'm excited for him. Excited for another Jersey guy to, have an opportunity to compete at the likes of Notre Dame.
And no shortage of Jersey guys through the years, going way back, you know, we could rattle them off. But what is that Jersey football mentality? Why is it that, especially if you're talking about a quarterback, used to the cold weather, I would think, used to a little adversity, what is it that makes a Jersey, let's just say a Jersey quarterback, thrive when he gets to Notre Dame, whether it's Theismann or you or one day Steve Angeli?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I just think there's always culture in Jersey, right? There's a great culture of, like, you know, just diversity, adversity, playing in the cold. I don't know, it's just a certain type of person and a football player that enjoys playing in the Midwest, right? And I think as a quarterback, you know that you're going to get coached really great when you go to Notre Dame. You know that you're going to have a really holistic experience when you go to Notre Dame. And some of these guys, you know, Steve and myself and some of the other Jersey guys that have gone on to play at Notre Dame have obviously come from the Catholic schools from Jersey, right? So it's a really easy transition. So I think that's part of it. I think Notre Dame has done a tremendous job recruiting in Jersey, specifically at, you know, St. Peter's Prep, and then obviously a couple other schools. So I think it's a nice pipeline that we have going, and a lot of the guys have been successful.
Brandon,
last one on that, just to follow up, Fernando. When we talked to Steve the first time back in February, he mentioned that Mogul was already being advised by you. At least that was my understanding. What's his marketability? What is his brand like right now? And what about the personality?
Yeah.
Of young Steve that might take us into the future a little bit when it's his turn.
Yeah.
How's he going to do?
Yeah, Mike, I think, you know, the sky's the limit for Steve. The sky's the limit for any quarterback at the University of Notre Dame, right? I think we need to do a good job of promoting those guys' personalities and letting them, you know, step outside the box a little bit. I think it just comes with the territory of kind of being a straight line guy. It is, you know, that is what it is. But I think Steve's going to do a really good job. I think I know him enough where his personality is going to take over at some point. And obviously, once he takes the reins at the quarterback position, there's going to be a lot of marketability around that guy, especially in South Bend and beyond. So excited for him when it comes to NIL, when it comes to the mogul platform and what we're going to be able to do for him. He's going to be obviously one of the most profitable guys in the country when he takes over. So again, just super excited about what we're going to be able to do for him now and in the future.
Aiden and Brandon, the question for both of you, you guys are both from Jersey, but how did you guys meet? Was it through Notre Dame? Was it before? How did you guys kind of become friends?
Yeah, Fernando. So as Brandon kind of alluded to earlier in the call, I went to a rival high school of St. Peter's called Seton Hall Prep. So Brandon and I had the privilege of getting to know each other while we were in high school, just more on a social basis. I'm a couple years older, so didn't see too much of each other, but definitely got acquainted through similar circles. And then when we were at Notre Dame, we both were in the Mendoza College of Business, had a couple classes together, really, again, got to spend more time socially. But then our relationship really started to grow post-grad. Both of us were pursuing similar opportunities professionally. Brandon has a background and has interned in financial services and venture capital. So he and I had really reconnected on a more regular basis, just with regards to professional networking, sharing of networks, discussing opportunities, providing advice. Like I said, I was a couple years older. So that was really how the reconnection came about. And then obviously as NIL came up and we wrote the business plan for Mogul, Brandon was one of the first people that I called to reconnect, get perspective on. And then the relationship obviously was rekindled from there.
Brandon, what made you choose to go to Notre Dame as a high school quarterback and everything? What made you choose Notre Dame as the university that you wanted to attend?
That's another good question. I think it's very cliche, but you know, the opportunity to meet guys like Aiden, right? And you know, you build relationships with people who are doing really phenomenal things in the world and in their own lives and have great heads on their shoulders and have aspirations and dreams. And, you know, so that was a huge part of it. You know, and then the family culture, right? I think when you step on campus that you get that feeling and that people who are there and people who've graduated there are going to be there to support you for not just the 4 years that you're playing, but for 40 years after that. And then you're playing at the highest level, you know, athletically in all sports. So I'd say that, you know, I can speak for 99% of the athletic student body that, you know, they understand that they're going to have a chance to play for a national championship in whatever sport they're competing in.
Guys, we happen to be talking to you during one of the strangest 24-hour periods, probably in big time football history, with the back and forth between Nick Saban and his former assistant Jimbo Fisher, and NIL obviously on the lips of everybody who follows the sport and even people who don't right now, trying to make sense of it. And I think it's important to point out that you guys weren't just first movers, early movers in the NIL push. I believe Aiden, the story is that he was texting his brother, thinking along these lines back when Gavin Newsom, first the governor of California, first signed into law the thing that put all this in motion back in 2019. But when you brand yourselves as the compliant NIL marketplace for athletes and brand, and you're trying to do things the right way, what is it like to see that kind of firestorm out there where people start thinking, oh, well, the system's broken and there's no good way to do this, or et cetera? Is this an opportunity to step in eventually and restore order? And does this help you guys as you go down to Atlanta next month for the first NIL summit? Or is it just so crazy that we're trying to figure it out minute to minute?
I want Aiden to say something controversial so we can be a part of the fire. But go ahead, man.
I'm not looking for that, but I think you guys, to me, it's an opportunity for the guys that, you know, somebody's going to come out of this wearing the white hat and say, we're up, put us over here where it's not collective and it is transparent, and you guys charge a 20% fee. Flat fee of the businesses or nonprofits. You're not taking anything from the players and the athletes in any sport, by the way, right? It's across the board, any intercollegiate sport. But Aiden, what's the last 24 hours been like for you since the Saban Fisher thing got rolling?
Yeah, Mike. I mean, I think in general, right, the landscape just continues to evolve in many different ways. I think one of the things that really excites Brandon and I about being in this landscape and being such a key player in this landscape is just the amount of innovation and creativity that we've seen broadly throughout the landscape, both from an athlete perspective, from a brand marketing perspective, and from other players in the space, right? Such as collectives. But from day one, Mogul was created to truly educate, support, and inform our athletes as they navigate this new landscape. That's why everything that we've done was created to be fully compliant. We automated the compliance and the disclosure from day one. We were the first company in the entire landscape to figure out how to do that. And we've ensured that we're protecting athlete eligibility and making sure that they know how to navigate this with to the best of their ability, with the best resources and tools at their disposal. So as it relates to collectives, the thing that's really unique about collectives is that in general, collectives were built to support student athletes, right? In most cases, that's how collectives are structured, to provide opportunities and provide NIL funding to all student athletes. However, the way that the media has kind of construed them and pitches them is those, you know, the Texas A&M, the Tennessee instances where, you know, you're looking at the $8 million quarterback collective slush.
Miami.
Right, exactly. Yep. And the difficulty with it is that by definition, these aren't NIL deals, right? An NIL deal is between a currently enrolled student and a business or brand that derives direct value from that student being a student, from that student athlete being a student at that school. So for us, the thing that's really unique about our offering is that we're the absolute market leader from a technological perspective. We've optimized the entire workflow and user experience from an NIL matching and marketability perspective. So where collectives really have gaps is that they don't have the technology to connect to athletes at scale. They don't have a method of payment, hiring, and disclosure. So we can actually provide a lot of value to these collectives. Now, we're being very thoughtful as an organization as to which collectives we want to work with, because at the end of the day, we're not in the business of, you know, funneling recruitment inducements. So we are being very thoughtful about that. But I think in general, I mean, you know, when Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban and those type of headlines go around, well, that only provides fuel to our fire, because at the end of the day, it's more headlines around NIL. It brings more eyes to everything that we're trying to accomplish. So we're excited.
Well, in terms of the collective that I would assume that there's at least, obviously you guys know Tom Mendoza well, because you're both went through the Mendoza Business School. Are you already in partnership in some, to some extent, with the fund, the Friends of University of Notre Dame? Can you explain where that stands and what's the potential for you to, where is that?
Yeah, Mike, we're extremely excited about everything that Brady's built. We've been speaking with him often in terms of how we can support everything that he's done. We're extremely excited about the unique way that he's approached the landscape. He's actually achieved, you know, 501(c) accreditation for the fund, which is something that we're extremely excited about, because most collectives haven't and won't be able to achieve that status just by the way that they're set up and the inability to actually confirm that these activities are going to be not-for-profit. But yeah, there's a ton of opportunity for us to assist with everything that the fund is doing. And there's a lot of overlap in terms of the value that we can provide both to the university, the surrounding community, to South Bend, and of course, at the end of the day, to the student athletes. So we've been enjoying our conversations with Brady and we're excited.
Brandon, what has it been like to meet with some, I mean, some people might think that former athletes are like, oh, wow, why is this new generation getting paid? But it seems like a lot of the former athletes or collegiate athletes are happy for this next generation and everything. What's it been like for you to meet with some of these athletes and help them and help them build a future for them?
Yeah, Fernando, you're like, I don't know what's wrong with you if you're not excited about the next generation and high school athletes and, you know, people following your footsteps and just getting paid and making money for what we've done, right? I think it's a representation of what we've done, you know, for the generations who have already established themselves and played collegiately, right, at such a high level and bringing value to these communities. Like, we drove this initiative. So I'm happy to be a part of it from a professional standpoint and be able to directly provide value to these athletes. Meeting with these kids, right? I think one of the ones I want to highlight, one of the deals that Mogul's facilitated was for quarterback at North Dakota State as Quincy Patterson. And you know, his life had just kind of flipped upside down, and we were able to help him out from a financial standpoint, connecting him with a brand out, you know, in his geographical area, and it really helped him, and it helped his family kind of turn things around from a financial standpoint. But it's those types of stories that Aiden and I really got into this business, right? Aiden's thing is that, you know, he needed something that would help, you know, tangibly change people's lives. And that's a pure way and an example of how we're doing that.
Guys, there's also an aspect, I believe, of paying it back to a community already in terms of equipment and making sports more affordable for kids at risk. How proud are you guys of what you've been able to do there? What's the potential in that realm?
Yeah, I mean, that was our first partnership was with Every Kid Sports. So Aiden and I both grew up playing sports. I was a big proponent. I was a big advocate of you know, giving back, whether it was to Teaneck, where I originally grew up from. I knew I wanted to do something. There were so many people that helped me get to where I am today. And if it wasn't for youth sports, you know, my brother and I, we don't know where we would be. So there was a huge component of me that was like, all right, I'm in business. We need to include a philanthropic component. It needs to revolve around sports. Every Kid Sports crossed our desk, and we were, ecstatic about the opportunity to work with them. And we thought their mission was, you know, paralleled, directly with ours. And it's obviously going to help us in the future, just providing more accessibility to sports. So there's going to be more athletes, and obviously they're going to hopefully go through the ranks of playing high school and then collegiately and then hopefully professionally. But, you know, that's a touch point for us, right? At the end of the day, it's going to be a funnel, but it, you know, the most important thing is that we're providing accessibility and funding, for something that's going to only help and improve the lives of youth.
You're listening to the Pod of Gold, the South Bend Tribune. I'm Mike Berardino, joined by Fernando Ramirez, and on this episode by former Notre Dame quarterback Brandon Wimbush and his co-founder of Mogul, Aiden Sayal, also a Notre Dame graduate. And guys, if a parent is listening, if a prospective student athlete or current student athlete somewhere out there is listening and they want to find out more and they want to link up with you, where do they go? And then what's the process? How quickly can something be put together through Mogul?
Yeah, so for any parents, brands, student athletes, prospective student athletes that want to learn more about Mogul or begin monetizing your name, image, and likeness, or building awareness for your products and services that your business or brand operates on, simply go to www.mogul.online and sign up. It's completely free for you to do so. As a business or brand, you'll then be given the opportunity to have a consultation with a member of our team so that we can understand your marketing goals, and you'll be given direct access to the platform. And as a result, direct access to thousands of collegiate athletes that can help build awareness for your products and services. For athletes, same thing, completely free to sign up. There are hundreds of deals available on the platform today, ranging from free product all the way up to tens of thousands of dollars. And the best thing is that it's completely free for you to join. We don't take a single percentage of your deal, and it's fully compliant.
That is awesome. How much vetting goes into the opportunities, guys? I'm sure that's a big part of your outlay is to make sure that things you put on your platform are legit and something that your athlete partners can be proud of.
Yeah, that's one thing that we really pride ourselves on, Mike. So the reason why, in order to access the platform, a brand needs to have an approval consultation, is that we need to understand that they're trying to work with athletes for the right reasons. We need to understand what their business does. If it's alcohol, gambling, cannabis, they're not going to be granted access to the platform. And we need to understand what their marketing goals are as well. Now, internally, we have a director of compliance and a director of university relations. Elliot Charles is the former athletic director at Chicago State and previously was the associate AD at Clemson in compliance. So all of the jobs and all of the brands on our platform are fully vetted and verified to make sure that they're NCAA compliant, and also to make sure that we're never putting an athlete's eligibility at risk. That's something that no other marketplace in the market can offer today. And it's something that we're really proud about.
Let me just follow up there before we go back to Fernando. But thanks for bringing up Elliot, because that seemed like a real separator for you when that news came out very recently. How long was that conversation in the process, and how much did you have to recruit him with his skill set when there's so many budding firms jumping into the NIL pool? What went into securing him and getting him on your team?
Yeah, Mike, we're thrilled. I've got Simon. Okay, we're good. Mike, we're thrilled to have Elliot as part of our team. He's been someone who's been on our radar for a while. Not sure if you remember the headlines actually last year, but he was the first Division I athletic director to cancel sports actually during the coronavirus crisis, and especially at a predominantly African-American school in Chicago State. We just thought that leadership and that conviction was something that we wanted on our team, not to mention the fact that he's been at Clemson and been at Alabama during national championship seasons, not just in football, but in other sports as well. The recruitment process was definitely very detailed. We went through it for a long time. We had a number of other candidates, but the thing that really stood out to us about Elliot was just the altruistic way that he approaches truly trying to help athletes paralleled our mission very closely. And he was all on board when we reached out. He was very aware of Mogul, given his experiences at Chicago State, and he recognized that we do have the leading marketplace technology, and he knew that his student athletes were using Mogul more than any other marketplace, and that we were approaching it the right way. So he was ecstatic. It was more so a delay on our end with regards to just making sure that we did our due diligence, but we couldn't be happier to have Elliot as part of our team.
Brandon, two quick questions for you. One, what was it like working with Tommy Rees when you were at Notre Dame? And could you see him potentially maybe being a future head coach or maybe moving up to the NFL?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think he definitely started when, you know, in the NFL, Fernando. So I think he's only 29 years old still. I mean, it's ridiculous how young that guy has climbed the ladder. But it's just a testament to his – you know, his coaching attributes, his discipline, his, you know, his knowledge of the game. I think that's the separator for Tommy, is his IQ around playing football, playing the quarterback position specifically, is zero to none. So I've been around a lot of quarterback coaches, across the country, right? All great ones. But I think Tommy at his young age has a really keen understanding about playing the quarterback position and just football in general. That was one of his things, was, you know, kind of doing the, what's it called? Just, you know, just testing the quarterbacks, making sure that our knowledge of the game was there, because we had to lead an entire organization, an entire program. I think he'll continue to scale his levels in coaching. And I think it's only a matter of time, right, before he takes on, you know, a head coaching position somewhere, or even the NFL comes calling.
He has a tough decision right now. Him and Marcus Freeman, obviously, they have a quarterback battle between Tyler Buchner and Drew Pine. What goes into that? What could ultimately separate one guy from the other? Obviously, they get the starter by Ohio State.
Tommy's very structured and results driven, right? If you have you come out of spring ball, and who has a better, passing percentage, right? Completion percentage. Who's made the right decisions, right? So it's very results driven. There's stats that Tommy dissects, and the rest of the offensive staff will dissect at the end of spring ball, at the end of fall camp. I'm sure they're going to keep it open for the entirety of fall camp and see who performs better. I think that's, you know, the goal of every coach is to put the best performer out there on the field, to put your team in the best position. And I think Tommy takes the right steps to make sure that he's doing that.
Brandon, you're going to whoever takes the field against Ohio State, whether it's Buchner or Pine, they're going to have very few career passing attempts, 35 for Buchner, Pine 33 going into a season opener. But yeah, when you took the field against Temple starting a season opener, 5 career passing attempts at that point, untested. Yeah. What was that like? How did you prepare yourself for it? Were you nervous? What was something that was said to you to make that go so well? Because you guys obviously won 49-16 that day, and then you go on to be 12-3 as a starter before that change in 2018.
Yeah. I was nervous. I'm nervous. I'm nervous every game. It's like if I'm not nervous, then for me, it was like if I'm not nervous or have butterflies, I don't care. But obviously, I was prepared, right? It wasn't a nervous like, oh, I'm unprepared. I'm not going to perform well. I was nervous like I got the jits here. I want to get out and I want to play and perform and put my win. So that was the type of nervous that I got. But I went into the season. I went to fall camp, kind of understood that I was going to be a starter, right? Spring ball and fall camp. So I had a good kind of head on my shoulders where I was like, okay, this is my team now. I've waited my 2 years and now I'm in a position to lead this program. So I was confident in that going into the game, right? And I was preparing for the last, prior 8 months leading up to that game on September, I think it was 2nd. And so, Temple was a great opponent, but I think we came in just overly prepared. It was just 8 months of grind nonstop, completely new staff, right? We wiped house, Coach Kelly wiped house, and we just went in with a different mentality that year that nobody was going to beat us. Obviously, things change and, doesn't always go your way. But again, we were just really prepared to go into that season, that opener. I think it's every year that we always are. And we feel confident about our ability. So, five passes didn't really matter. I knew my abilities. I knew who I had around me. Had one of the best had the best offensive line in college that year. Had some great weapons and obviously a phenomenal running back. So, it was queued up to be a great season.
Well, we want to thank you, Brandon and Aiden, for joining us on Pot of Gold. It's been awesome to hear about Mogul and obviously get in the DeLorean with you, Brandon, and go back to your playing days and your experiences. So thank you guys so much. It's so awesome to hear everything that you guys are doing with that company and obviously trying to help the next generation obviously get what they're worth.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much for having us on.
All right, and be sure to thank you for joining us, and good luck. Keep it going. At the Mogul app is the best way to follow you guys on Twitter, and mogul.online. Anybody who's looking for guidance in this wild, wild west, it doesn't have to be so wild if you have the right people guiding you along the way. Thank you, guys. All the best.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, guys. Mike, great stuff from both Brandon and Aiden. A lot of great conversation. Listening to what they're doing with Mogul.
Oh yeah. I figured they would enlighten us and maybe give us a little bit of encouragement that this thing could really be sorted out. Name, image, and likeness is something that college students, if you don't play sports, you're able to. I mean, I worked when I was in school as a sports writer, and I was nobody banned me from driving 30 minutes each way from Chapel Hill over at night to the Durham Herald Sun and working for $6 an hour and pursuing my dream eventually of being a sports writer. So for the branding opportunities, the put a little extra money in their pocket that's based on honest exchange of whether it's donating your time or making an appearance or doing some social media, whatever, they should have that opportunity. So one of the things we should mention that I don't think we got to is their Instagram account is another way that parents or athletes or business owners or nonprofits could get in touch with them. And that's at get.mogul, M-O-G-L, through Instagram. So, I think it's pretty overwhelming, I'm sure. I don't have student athletes in my family, but I raised two young adults, and I can only imagine the confusion for parents right now if they try to guide their college age athletes, and it's across the board, it's any sport, into figuring out how to monetize but do it properly and not get ripped off. That's the thing, right? I mean, money's changing hands left and right. It's certainly at a lower scale for the non-revenue sports, but it's still out there, the potential for it, you'd like to see it happen on the up and up.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I completely agree. Guys, don't forget to check out ndinsider.com. We have some great stuff cooking right now. Mike, let us know a little bit about Milk Vinson and kind of what's happening with the Indy 500 with him.
Well, this guy, you know, what a story. Michael Milk Vinson, the long snapper at Notre Dame, going into his third year as the starting long snapper. Some listeners may know the story, but not only how he got his nickname of Milk from former Notre Dame punter, former Brandon Wimbush teammate, Tyler Newsom, but that he didn't just take, that was kind of supposed to be a put down at the time. We're the cheese unit and you're not part of the cheese unit. You're just Milk. And so he turned that into, he didn't complain, he didn't whine about it. And then he gets to be the starter. And now after going to midway through his second season last fall, he got the idea, Michael Vinson, of contacting the American Dairy Association of Indiana and offering his services as an NIL representative, brand ambassador, if you will. And they already had Rodrigo Blankenship, the Colts place kicker. And they had Joseph Newgarden from the Indy Car Series, but they didn't have any college athletes. And of course, what's more wholesome than the image of a college student athlete pounding glasses of milk? So here's a guy with the nickname Milk, and it worked out. I talked to Brooke Williams, the communications director down at the Indianapolis offices of the Dairy Association, and he had done a virtual farm tour with the Homestead Dairies down in Plymouth. But then this week, I had a sense that because the Indy 500's coming up, it's 2 weeks of time trials and preparations, that maybe he'd be out there. And sure enough, on Tuesday, Michael Milk Vinson got a chance to take a fast lap. He wasn't driving, but he was in the car as it went around 110 miles an hour in a Chevy Malibu. I explain all this in the story at ndinsider.com. I got to talk to his mom, Shannon Vinson, who grew up actually racing Indy Light cars with her dad up at Road America in Wisconsin. So it's all explained there. But I just think the couple morals of the story, Fernando, it never hurts to ask. And Michael Vinson asked to see, he just checked it out. He had an idea. He followed it up. They could have said, no, we got Blankenship and Newgarden. We don't need any college kids. I will tell you, it's not in the story, but I did let the Dairy Association and Brooke Williams know that they have their successor to Milk already lined up, and that's Billy Shrouth. Billy Shrouth, you got here after we met him. He's the offensive lineman from Wisconsin, grew up on a dairy farm. Notre Dame's Wow. future star left guard, probably, Billy Shrouth, grew up milking cows before sunup, and he's going to be great when the torch is passed eventually from Vinson to Shrouth. And I let Miss Williams know that, and she's got him on her list.
Those are usually there. Look at Mike out here helping potential NIL.
I'm doing what I can. Force for good, Fernando. I'm a force for good.
I know that.
What
you know,
have you been working on?
You know, it's funny. When you mentioned those the people that grow up on farms are usually stronger than anybody who's been lifting weights. I mean, you get that kid, you get guys like Brock Lesnar and some of these other guys that are just humongous from working on farms. So, hey, that farmer strength is no joke. But I recently followed around the bus Jerome Bettis during his graduation and everything, and I wrote about him and his experience not only in the classroom but also helping with the football team. And it was funny because he said, he's like, I came to school and I put my head down and I was just trying to sit in the corner and not really get in the middle of anything. And the first day, a student recognized him and he's like, hey, do you want to be a part of our group? And then Marcus Freeman calls him and tells him, hey, Bus, or texts him, hey, Bus, if you're on campus, why don't you come by? And that turned into a weekly meeting, or two times a week they would meet. And it really kind of spiraled out of control to where Bus was honestly one of the most beloved figures in both the classroom and on the football team. And I was telling you, Mike, when we talked on the phone the other day, that when he was leaving the stadium, fans were cheering. They were excited. They were yelling for him. Hey, great job, Bus. Hey, Jerome, congratulations. even it was funny, even students were telling him congrats, and he's like, hey, congrats to you too, and they were getting all excited. So good to see, great guy. We obviously had him on Pot of Gold. If you guys haven't listened to that, go back and listen to it. Great talk with him about everything. And literally, when I say everything, we talked about his NFL career. We talked about the NIL. We talked about Dante Moore and kind of how he built a connection with Dante Moore's dad. So during his visit, so it's honestly, it was a good talk with him. It was good to follow him. It was good to see him finally graduate and fulfill his promise to his mother. So that's what I have. But it was we got some good stuff cooking up, Mike. So it's definitely good stuff that we got going on.
No, I read your story and I enjoyed it. And I'm a better you than I been out there all day in that heat on graduation day. I give you credit for that.
It was a hot day. And you know, it was funny. As soon as the students were walking out, a lot of them, you could tell their parents were like, oh, hey, like pictures. The students were already taking off their cap and gown because it was a darker color. So it was hot. And you could tell, and that just brought me back to my mom when my brother and my sister and I graduated. As soon as we were done, we wanted to take off the cap and gown. I was like, wait, pictures first. And then you're like, oh, okay, let's get it over with. Let's go. So definitely a little blast in the past in my head when I saw the students try and take their stuff off. But yeah, Mike, another great week of podcasting, another great week. So let's
award-winning. We'll be getting an award for this eventually. It's going to be, we can call ourselves award-winning in advance. We're just going to predict that. I will say, before we let the folks move on with their lives, and let's invite them to follow, to subscribe to ndinsider.com for just $4.99 a month. And that's where you'll get subscriber access to these long form stories that we write. And I have live chats virtually every week throughout the season and off season as well.
What was that price again, Mike?
Pot of Gold, $4.99. It's less than a coffee at Starbucks.
That's cheaper than Netflix. That's cheaper than all those streaming services out there.
You know what else it gets you, Fernando? It gets you access to the entirety of the USA Today Sports Network. So Sports Plus is something that USA Today has put a lot of emphasis on to build that thing out. There's plenty of additional podcasts that are behind that paywall, but that's you're in the club for $4.99, and you're going to have that opportunity to read up on it. We're the largest newspaper chain, Gannett, in the world, and we're just blessed to be part of it and doing our part. So ndinsider.com. We encourage you, and of course, to subscribe to this podcast too, in the various forms that you can find it: Apple and Spotify, and sure, Google Podcast, Amazon, all those places. We'd love to have you to be part of your podcast experience.
And click the notification, so as soon as the podcast is released, you get the notification and you can start listening. But again, a great week. Mike Berardino, Fernando Ramirez signing off from Pot of Gold. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and we'll be back soon.